across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, let's give this a try. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, September 3rd, 2024. It's a beautiful morning across Wisconsin to have you here from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the Civic Media app, on demand by podcast, or watching us on social media. Nice to have you here. I got a question for you. Was anybody else dealing with a summer head cold over the holiday weekend? Somebody was, and while it may be a beautiful morning across Wisconsin, my voice does not sound beautiful, and I appreciate your indulgence as we head into a short work week after a long holiday weekend. Hope it was a good one for you. Coming up this morning, we will hear from our Up North News colleague, Christina Laurie, who has some of the uplifting stories in our daily newsletter. We will hear from Chad Holmes about what's coming up on his program on Bow Falls Radio in the Wausau area. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be here, Greg Bach from Waukesha, in just a moment as well. Plus, you, if you think that you'd rather, at least for a few minutes, have your own voice on the radio instead of this thing, our number is 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also comment, or text, I should say. You can text that number, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text or call us through the Civic Media app. If you are watching this fine radio program on social media, you can put a question or a comment in the comment section. We may see it and pop it up on screen. You can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. So we are here in September. It is past Labor Day, which means here come the return of the bus stop temperatures. 6 a.m. for kids are heading back to school now. And up here in Chippewa Falls, it is 52 degrees. Hayward's at 47, Park Falls 49, Wausau 50, Green Bay 51, La Crosse 55. It's 51 in Wisconsin Rapids, 57 in Oshkosh, 59 in Madison. And it is 50 degrees in downtown Waukesha, where we will soon hear that your radio is not slightly off the station, where it's a little fuzzy. It's actually right where it's supposed to be, as you'll hear from the clear tones of Greg Bach in Waukesha. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
I'm just kidding. Good morning, Pat. Good morning. Your voice does not sound as bad as I think you believe it does. It has a gravelly sense to it, but it doesn't take away from the wonderful experience of listening.
Aw.
So there you
thanks.
Go.
We're not quite in Barry White territory, but
oh no,
I wouldn't mind that a bit. Yeah, I was sick all weekend, and I was not the best house guest up there. I mean, 24 hours ago, I was waking up once again on the prairies of Saskatchewan, and it was glorious. We got such a Northern Lights display couple of nights while we were up there with friends. Yeah. It was peaceful. It was relaxing. It was Canada, so we had none of the political stuff. I've never done such a good job unplugging, and yet because of this, you know, head cold that I picked up, couldn't enjoy it to its fullest. But you went the other direction. You went to Indiana. How was that?
Yeah, I go to Indiana every year for Labor Day weekend to visit family. It's kind of like a mini family reunion. And we had a really good time. I tried unplugging. Some of my family is like they're politically savvy. They know stuff. They have opinions. They're one of my cousins, though, he was kind of, I don't want to say he's talking smack or talking out of the wrong side of his body, but I think he was just saying things. And I was trying so hard just watch tennis and, as you said, unplug. Be like, you know what, it is. No conversation is going to change a vote this weekend. You're not working. Just right. Let it be. And I'm just sitting there, and they're in the kitchen, and he's talking and talking and talking. And finally, I just go, stop saying the economy's terrible. It's great. He's like, what? I'm like, it's great. He goes, well, how's it for you? I'm like, that's not how it works. I want to go back to tennis. Why did I talk at all? Like, it was really hard. But then, you know, finally I did, and we had a good time, and we always have a great time hanging out. So
good.
No
good.
One was. We took Maybelle with us, which was a thing.
Oh, not a well-established road traveler yet.
Oh, when she gets in the car, she's laying down the whole time. She doesn't move. She doesn't do anything. But my cousins have two dogs, and everyone was interested in being everyone's best friend, but it got a little nippy and a little aggressive sometimes. So it was like, yeah.
Oh, so much like the conversation with your cousin. I don't want to play right now. I've had to do that with conversations this year. I'm like, no, I don't want to play right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this. In our case, it was our hosts, some friends of ours that we actually made friends with them during our time living in the Cayman Islands. The husband is from England. The wife is from Regina. And when they left the island, they moved to the Regina area. And so we share a lot of the same political values. Mm-hmm. And the husband from England, I don't know if it's a fascination or an obsession. It's somewhere on the line there where he wants to talk about it all the time in the style of, what's up with you Americans?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I've been answering this question the same way for years. I don't know. We try to make sense of it, but we can't always.
Is he being accusatory, or is he trying
to?
No.
He genuinely cares about America. He genuinely cares about the direction of politics, and is absolutely, like many people, dumbfounded that nearly 50% of the voting population seems to be moving in the direction that it moves in. And I mean, let's face it, we've all been trying to figure this out for a long time now.
Yeah.
I mean, look today just at yesterday, at Labor Day. The traditional kickoff to the closing phase of 3 years of campaigning for some people. You had the running mate to be the future vice president of the United States here in Wisconsin at Labor Fest in Milwaukee. And Tim Walz did a great job. And you had Kamala Harris, who could be the next president of the United States, campaigning with President Joe Biden in Pennsylvania. Again, Labor Day, all about work. J.D. Vance, Donald Trump, took the day off. Couldn't be bothered to campaign any place. Put out some statements saying, hey, you know, we're for the workers. That's it. We're not going to do anything to show it. We're just platitudes. Which reminds me, when I got home, I got mail.
Ooh.
I got an Eric Hovde mail piece here. Oh, wait. I've got another Eric Hovde mail piece here.
Wait.
Both of them. Nope, that's it. Both of them from the same group, AFP Action, which I assume is Americans for Prosperity, mm-hmm. which I liked, as Tim Walz put it in Milwaukee yesterday. It's these are the people that want government small. So small it fits into your exam room. So small it fits into your bedroom. So small it fits into your library. So at some point we'll go through these quote-unquote real solutions from Eric Hovde, and we'll see if those actually play out. But that's where we are in the state of politics. We're past Labor Day now. We've got, it's 9 weeks from today, 63 days, and then we will have this behind us
in
some way, shape, or form.
I was going to say 63, probably add like another 7 just for
everything. Just for shenanigans, shall we say.
Yeah.
The holiday weekend basically started with Donald Trump in La Crosse. And again, there's things I cannot believe don't get more attention from this guy. He literally said when he was there, I didn't know this was a town hall. I thought this was a speech. And he cut it short after 35 minutes. Greg, have we not been saying for the 3-4 days prior that it was going to be a town hall, and that we doubted he would take the town hall thing seriously?
Yep. Yeah.
I believe I had that.
Called it.
And that's exactly what happened. Was he took the couple of quote unquote questions and he just used them as jumping off points to give his speech. And at some point said, I didn't even know this was going to be a town hall, and bailed out after like 35, 40 minutes. And again, in the national media, if that had been Joe Biden or anybody else, would have been like, oh, what does this say about the cognitive decline of the president, that he didn't even know what he was doing? And for Trump, it's just like, you know, we let it go. He babbled. Oh, that man babbles. I mean, it was bad before, but it's just really off the charts now.
Yeah, it's getting worse. He's getting bored. He doesn't like being on the campaign trail, you can tell. And he's getting older and he's slowing down. And that's not a slam on him personally. People, as they get older, maybe grow slower. And that's just how it is.
So. Yeah. And that's, you know, so he ended up just taking the day off. Alicia Saunders writes in on Facebook that the Outagamie County and Winnebago County Democrats showed up at the Fox Valley Labor Council's Labor Day Parade yesterday and got an awesome reception.
Nice.
So thank you for that update, Alicia. We appreciate that. So, yes, we had Trump in lacrosse. We had Tim Walz at Labor Fest. J.D. Vance came in at some point and, I don't know, mumbled something briefly and then left, you know.
He said something about, like, you know, women past bearing age are not worth anything, I guess. I don't know. He's just fixated on women and their, whether they're capable or not of having children. Like, that's all he can really think about, it seems.
Oh, yeah. There were more comments found that he, how much he really does not like accomplished women. And then Trump made some more racist comments Saturday at a Moms for Liberty event. Still no video from Trump that he says would exonerate him from the charge that he was doing a political stunt at Arlington National Cemetery. So
he also said he had every right to interfere with the election, too.
Oh, well, that's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. And once again, Pat, to go back to what you said before, still nearly 50% of the people are like, that's my guy.
Yeah. Yep. So we'll go over some of these points here, but first let me tell you about the Brewers. Willy Adames, 29th birthday, hits his 29th home run. It is his 13th three-run homer of the season. Nobody has done that except Griffey Jr., Ken Griffey Jr., and there's still like 20 games left. So Willy Adames is going to break the record, I'm sure, for most three-run homers. And then there's Jackson Churio, hitting a grand slam. He only needs two more home runs. He's got 18. If he gets two more, he'll be the youngest ever to have 20 home runs, 20 stolen bases before the age of 21. And the Brewers end up winning that game over the St. Louis Cardinals 9-3. They'll play again tonight. More coming up in just a moment on Up North News Radio on this Tuesday morning on the Civic Media Radio Network. Today's history lesson has a birthday from one of the founding members of Grand Funk Railroad, so tune in for that coming up 30 minutes from now on Up North News Radio, brought to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Up North News being a separate entity from Civic Media, but we sure do love partnering here every weekday morning from 6 to 8, and nice to have you along for it as well. So I was listening to the Brewers as we were driving back from the airport. We flew in from Regina yesterday, listening to the home runs, to the games. The Brewers are going to play the Cardinals again tonight at 6:40 and then Wednesday at 6:40. They will have Thursday off, but they stay at home, and they will play Colorado this next weekend. But it is important to note that Friday's game has been moved to 5:10 for the start on this Friday, not 7:10, but 5:10, because the Green Bay Packers open their season on Friday night. So that got me looking to see if I've got the Peacock app. I've got it on my phone, and of course I went to go look at the info for the Packers, and it says, well, you're going to need a paid plan, you know, if you want to watch it here, and here's how much it costs, and you can always cancel it at any time. So now I've got the rationalization of if I happen to be home and I want to watch the Packers, I'm going to have to sign up for Peacock. It's $7.99 a month. Do I pay the $8 to watch the Packer game, figuring that if I go to the neighborhood bar, I'm going to spend $8, you know, on a bucket of beers anyway, and then there's going to be another bucket because your friend buys you some, and then you got to buy some for your friends. So I guess it's worth the $8, but Greg, it's the principle of the thing.
Well, first of all, isn't there a trial? Like, won't you get like a week or something?
My understanding is that they don't do the trial thing anymore. That, you know, that was, again, like any other good drug dealer, you know, the free taste only lasts for so long, and then they're like, nope, you got it. So there may be, but I saw was the $7.99 a month or something like that. But and this is what everybody's going to be doing for the next couple of days, is to try to find Peacock, figure out the terms, figure out if it works for them. You know, God forbid you own or manage a bar or a restaurant and you're not doing this, because you're going to lose business Friday otherwise. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I don't see a trial either. Here's the thing is, if you get the Peacock, if you decide to do it for like just this one time for the Packer game, and you I'll give you a couple of shows or movies you can also check out, make it worth your while for $8. I mean, I don't know. I think this is ridiculous. Now we're getting to the point where, you know, sports is on, like, one sport is on four or five different outlets. And yeah. Now it's like, and like, I can't even guarantee that it's not going to be blacked out. I mean, and I'm talking about Brewers right now. Like, you turn on Apple TV Plus or you turn on some channel and it's like, nope, you're blacked out. I'm like, well, what am I doing? What's going on here? Why? I live 50 minutes away from the stadium.
Well, and that gets to the other part of this, the definition of a home market. You know, for folks that live in Milwaukee or in Green Bay, that it's an entirely separate matter. A local channel will pick up the games by and large. But look, everybody listening right now in Wausau, everybody listening in the Chippewa Valley, you know, everybody listening in Hayward, they feel like they're part of the Packer market. And that this makes no sense whatsoever, that, you know, that they would get a blackout for something. If you already subscribe to that service, Apple TV or whatever it is, you should get these games. But like on the MLB app, you know, again, they will have blackouts too. The whole thing is a mess. And someday, somebody will look back on all this and go, did you guys really have to endure all that? Yeah, we did. We did. All right. I've already told you about the presidential campaign and what's there. So let's head to the Senate campaign, where based on this one piece of mail that I got, this very, very scary image of Tammy Baldwin and the word fail right next to her face. Tammy Baldwin has failed us. And then on the backside with Eric Hovde, real solutions.
Is that picture taking place in a lake? Is he in a lake in that picture?
he's not in a nice lake. Oh, but check out this one. Here's the other piece I got from AFP. It says delivering results for Wisconsin. And it's basically a pile of people. There's Eric Hovde's family photo. And then the next layer of people is like three different shots of Eric Hovde talking to people. And then at the top of the mountain, the big shiny face of Eric Hovde looking down on all the other Eric Hovdes talking to people. It's a very awkward looking photo.
What results? He's never served office.
Well, and here's my favorite. This is what got me the most. On the flip side, it says here, stand up to both parties to deliver results. In what world is Eric Hovde seen as somebody that would stand up to both parties specifically? And I would bring you right here to the middle section that says, secure our border. Our wide open borders are allowing fentanyl to flood our communities and destroy families. Eric will set politics aside to find solutions to secure the border and fix our broken immigration system. Greg,
what?
If Eric Hovde is willing to stand up to both parties to deliver results and wants to solve the border problem and set politics aside to find solutions, any idea where he could find such a solution, where he could speak out and maybe speak up against Republicans who, I don't know, maybe killed an idea that would have fixed the border? Anything come to mind? Anything at all?
I really feel like there was maybe a bill, a bipartisan bill that
Ooh, bipartisan would be really good.
That really, that was some of the most, you know, it really dealt a blow to the problems down in the border and really helped solidify the, you know, more people down there to do the work, you know, and I really feel like it was almost going through too. Who called?
Oh, wait, I think it was Trump.
Oh, that's
right.
That's right.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, here on the scary piece from Eric Hovde, or from AFP rather.
Fail with
Tammy Baldwin next to it. It talks about Baldwin backed this border policy. She chose Washington politics over common sense solutions. And then there's a footnote. So I'm like, let's go look at the footnote. Now, forgive me. I've got to hold this really close and able to see. I've got to take my glasses off to read it. Let's see. Amendment number 5487 and 2022 and 1383, 2021. So they're dinging Tammy because she voted against a couple of proposed Republican amendments that were on a bill at some point in the past, and she voted no. How about a great big bipartisan border security bill?
Yeah.
How about that? That should be your footnote.
Yeah.
That if Eric Hovde wants to speak up, then, you know, that's the place to do it, pal. Much like Derek Van Orden in his race could be speaking up for immigration reform because it would help all the farms in the 3rd Congressional District. So, Republicans, it's the day after Labor Day. You've got 9 weeks. Again, you've never sent me a dime, but here's some more of that free political advice that you really should have started following by now. If you want to win in Wisconsin, if you really want to show some independence, then why don't you stand up to your own party and say, it is time to fix immigration, and I want that bill to pass, and I don't care if Trump or Kamala Harris wins, they should sign the bill, and I will vote for it. You want to do something that shows you're independent and really want real solutions? Do that. Christina Lorre's coming up next. You're up north.
:34 now on this Tuesday morning, getting back into the swing of things after the holiday weekend. Christina Lorre joins us now. She puts together the daily newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Pat?
I'm good now. Still, I think I'm fully recovered from the Democratic convention in Chicago, though you made a pizza recommendation or two. And I remember one of them was Paisano's, right?
Yes. When you were saying you were fully recovered, I was wondering if you were just going to stop it. I'm still full.
I could have, because
generally the consensus after visiting Chicago.
I saw that later. I'd already gone to one called Fontenot's, I believe the name was, on Michigan Avenue. And I had a wonderful deep dish pizza slice as big as my head. And it was, you know, it wasn't fresh out of the oven because, you know, they sell them by the slice. But still, I mean, come on. There's just nothing else to say. If you haven't tried pizza in Chicago, I'm sure Paisano's is probably even better. But I would find it hard to believe you could find a bad deep dish pizza there. It's just so good.
I would like to pick a fight with anyone who disparages pizza in any way. I mean, I've really never had bad pizza. I mean, as far back as like elementary school cafeteria pizza, it's still pizza. It's still good.
Come to think of it, yeah. I mean, we always loved Pizza Day, the big rectangle slices of pizza that you'd get in school. You know, there was Rocky Rococo's when they were first out, and they were very big, and you've got your Detroit style. And, of course, New York, I've one of the best pizzas I've ever had was on Times Square in New York City, and a place that was loaded with photographs of Wisconsin cows because they talk about getting all their cheese from Wisconsin. And, of course, in Italy. So I got one out of a wood-fired oven there that still I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I know that I've tasted a little slice of it. So you're right. There aren't bad pizzas. There's only many degrees of good.
And you know, Chicago pizzas, they do on their menus, almost all of them, they do advertise made with fresh Wisconsin cheese.
Oh yeah. So yeah.
We know it's the best of the best.
That's what we do. That's what we do here. We do cheese and we do Packer football, which is where we're going to start things off here, because we've got the NFL season kicking off this weekend, kicking off Friday in South America on a streaming service. And I don't know that I feel particularly great about any of these things, but they are what they are. So, I mean, what are your plans and what can you tell people about how to make sure they don't miss the start of the Packers season this week?
Well, I actually kind of feel a little streaming service aside, I think that's crappy because people pay a lot of money for cable still to watch these games on TV. So for it to only be on streaming, I feel sorry for people, especially older fans who might not know how to work the streaming services and sign up for that 1 month free trial and then go through the hassle of canceling. So I'm not going to give that any kudos.
Good.
But I do think it's super cool that we're expanding the game of, you know, what we can call American football because, you know, football is an entirely different sport in Brazil. And it just, what's really cool, and we can feel good as, you know, native Wisconsinites, that the number one NFL franchise in Brazil, like 20% of people there are Packers fans.
Really?
So it's the most popular franchise there. And that's just really cool that we were on the bandwagon first. So it made me feel a little better of having a game so far away that, you know, our fans won't be able to get to.
I'm still taking that in. That's funny. Wow.
Yeah, and also, I think that this counts as a home game for the Eagles, doesn't it?
Yes, because they wouldn't dare take away a Lambeau Field game. So, yeah.
So I kind of feel like it's a win-win because it's not like we're taking away anything from our fans and we're, you know, spreading the word of that is Packers football around the world.
Without a doubt. And look, everybody, not everybody, but many people have foreign leagues that they like to watch and teams to cheer for. Of course, the English Premier League immediately comes to mind. But, you know, there's also people who follow rugby or Australian rules football, not just, you know, there's American football, there's what we would call soccer. I remember I watched a lot of Australian rules football back in the 80s when ESPN was brand new, and that was pretty much the only thing that was ever on it. So, you know, we all have those little quirky things that you would now only make jokes about that they're on ESPN 8, the Ocho. So if folks in Brazil like themselves some Green Bay Packers, then hey, enjoy the game, folks.
It's also funny how people come across their favorite team because, like, for a lot of us, it's geographic. But that's not how everyone picks their favorite teams. I was recently just putting together a list of celebrity cheeseheads, like the most famous people that root for the Packers. Mm-hmm. And their connections are really funny. Like Harry Styles, who used to be in One Direction, now a big pop solo artist. He's a Packers fan because he's originally from England, but one of his bandmates, like, instrumentalist, not a member of One Direction. Mm-hmm. I don't want anyone being the guitarist, I believe. He was originally from Wisconsin, so he just introduced him to the Packers. He thought the logo was cool. So the two, they made a bet all the way back in 2013 over just like a random game of who would win. It wasn't even like a consequential game. And Harry Styles lost the bet, so he ended up with a Green Bay Packers giant G on his arm tattooed. So he is a lifelong permanent fan.
All right. Here you mentioned though the Packer logo, and here's my question. I think it comes up every year as people are watching college football. Who came first? The G on the Green Bay Packers helmets or Georgia?
I know the answer.
Oh, go on.
It is the Packers. And they actually licensed the G. It was created for them, and they licensed it to Georgia, and they licensed it to several teams because it is the same font.
You're right. Everything. Yeah. It says here on one of these little Google searches, the two logos are similar, but the Georgia G is slightly slimmer and has no gold border. I don't know about, Wisconsin does have a problem. We're not as slim as we'd like to be, but neat. Be that as it may, let's switch gears from the Packers, which, by the way, but again, they're playing on Friday night. And of course, the Badgers played on Friday night to open up their season. Chad Holmes is going to be along later in the program. And last Tuesday, he went off because he does all these high school football games. And he does not want the NCAA or the NFL encroaching on Friday nights. He was very unhappy going into this weekend. And now I can't wait to hear his take on whether he paid any mind to the Badger game and has changed his mind and is going to watch the Packers this Friday. So stick around for Chad to tell us more about that.
It is unusual. Like, the NFL has expanded to pretty much every night. Like, there's always just random games on. And that really has to screw with the players. I wouldn't consider myself an athlete at all, but I do routinely, like, work out and run. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that it's really hard. Like, if you go on an 8 a.m. run one day, it's hard to do it at different times. You know, like, if I try to then run at 6 a.m., that's hard. Then sometimes, like, can't run until 5 p.m. Like, your body is used to being activated at certain times. So football players who are pushing their bodies to the max, I don't know how they pivot so quickly and, you know, have different amounts of days to recover when it feels right. Like people's got, you know, run over by a truck.
Yeah. And then of course, you add global travel to all of that as well. So
time zones.
I would just be happy with Sunday afternoons. I really like those. All right, let's pivot over to the Brewers. They open up a series at home against the Cardinals yesterday. And then, of course, the series continues tonight at 6:40 and then tomorrow at 6:40. Thursday's an off day. Colorado next weekend. And I mention this because we're into September now. There's this series with St. Louis. There's a series 3 weeks from now in Pittsburgh. And otherwise, that's it for division games. Everything else is either against Colorado, San Francisco, Arizona, Philadelphia, Arizona again, and the Mets. It's so weird not to have a September full of division games for the Brewers, who've led, of course, for, you know, a big chunk of the season. But it kind of removes a little bit of the drama. You know, I know the lead is a nice lead, but you still like some drama in September.
I don't know. I don't need the drama. Hold the drama, Pat. First of all, the Brewers have been in first place for all but 14 games this season,
right?
Which is wild. And what's super cool, I mean, I don't know. It's not dramatic, super anticlimactic, but the Brewers have already clinched the season series against the Cards. They did it with the first game in St. Louis the last time they played them. So, you know, these games are really just icing on the cake. I hope that they take it as practice for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I hope they're, you know, able to still, like, stay in the hunt for a, you know, seeded spot. But I mean, it's been so fun to watch. And, you know, I bring it up a lot, but comparatively, like, it always seems like Brewers fans, they're never satisfied with any loss, obviously. And, you know, I can't imagine that the players are either, but things could be a lot worse. You could be the White Sox and already have 100
well over 100 losses. Oh my goodness. Yes. I'm not complaining at all. These little visits remind me of how good we've got it. And Frank, and again, how surprisingly good, you know, based on what we were all predicting at the start of the season for the Brewers versus, say, the Cubs. And both teams have gone completely opposite of how things were predicted. So
what I did think was really neat was that Christian Yelich last week, he did his first post back surgery interview with reporters. He was back in the dugout taking questions, and they asked him, you know, the whole, like, framework. You could tell they had it in their mind, like, what is Christian going to say about, you know, this surprise season? And his first response was, I told you guys, this was not a surprise to us. Back in spring training, I tried to warn you that we have a lot of new guys. Only 12 of the 25 guys on the Brewers active roster, as of last week at least, were on the team that clinched the division last year. So more than half the team is fresh faces, and it's paying off.
Yeah, and doing so without having to break the bank, which is what everybody's always demanding, you know, come trade deadline time.
I do feel like they could break it a little more, though.
Oh, of course. Slightly. Of course. Slightly. But then we build our expectations and, you know, get our hopes and dreams dashed. So
yeah.
I want to ask you about one more thing. In one of the newsletters last week, you talked about getting out to the pumpkin farms but not to the pumpkins, not for the gourds, but for the flowers. You mentioned sunflowers and zinnia and all those things to see. And I wondered if you listed a few here. I wondered if you had a favorite, or what I'm getting at is how much of this was, well, it's fall, we should write a story about this, and how much of it is Christina can't wait to get to some of these farms and go on a hayride.
Yes, but I want to clarify, I'm not one of those people that is trying to rush fall too soon.
No.
I want to savor summer for as long as possible.
No, by all means, put down your pumpkin spice latte and tell me more.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So you'll want to check. I mean, a lot of these pumpkin farms, to elongate their fall seasons, they plant flowers there in the summer. And I think it's a lovely time to go. I don't love being around giant hordes of crowds. I don't have kids of my own yet. So sometimes I think it's more fun to have like a peaceful walk in nature and not necessarily be there when, you know, every kid in the world is picking out their
screaming
pumpkin.
And yeah. Crying because they're lost.
It's adorable. I also will be back at the pumpkin farms those times, but it's a different, more peaceful experience to visit and, you know, just take in the flowers. And while the weather is still nice, because obviously in October, you don't know. Here in Wisconsin, it could be snowing. It could be 90 degrees. You never know.
Oh,
so
yeah.
A lot of these fall farms are doing the smart thing and they're, you know, elongating their season by planting flowers, and the prices are a lot cheaper to go out there and enjoy it. Just the only catch is if you're going this week, you'll want to check, because some of the farms have already pivoted to pumpkins now that it is September. So you'll want to check ahead of time. Schuster's, I love them. They're in Deerfield, Wisconsin. They're a great family-owned operation. They also host weddings on their farm. They're a great, like, year-round family-owned farm. So I'll shout them out. But you really can't go wrong with any place in Wisconsin. I've never been to a bad pumpkin farm here. And I feel like I've checked probably at least a dozen off my list. So.
Oh, yeah. And it isn't about, you know, promoting one or two as it is planting the seed. See what I did there? To get people to go on a road trip this weekend. Go find one near them and enjoy the soon-to-be-coming fall season. Christina Laurie does all this and more for our newsletter. Christina, thanks so much. Have a great day.
Have a great day, everyone.
All right. We'll be back with more after this. You're up north.
Today.
It was the 3rd of September, that day I'll always remember, yes I will.
Temptations giving us that calendar check on this day in 1972.
I never got a chance to see him, never heard nothing.
Just in case there was any doubt that last segment was pre-recorded. And that somebody still has a little issue to work out with his head cold. All right, here's today's history lesson. Born this day in 1948, which makes him 76 years old today, was Don Brewer. He's the founder and drummer from Grand Funk Railroad, who's singing in this part of the song about how the hotel detective, he was out of sight. Something I've never done in my life. I've never torn a hotel down, but I've never been part of an American band either. So I don't get, I've never gotten the full American band experience.
I've only been in Polish bands. And we go to bed early.
And again, this was an early 70s thing when there were still such a thing as hotel detectives. Don't have that. Don't have that going anymore. Another big birthday from rock and roll today. Al Jardine is 82 today. Co-founder of the Beach Boys, because he was a high school friend and football teammate of Brian Wilson.
Ronnie, you look so fine.
Look so fine.
And it wouldn't take much time for you to help me, Rhonda. Help me get her out of my heart.
All the guys took turns on lead lyrics, and Al Jardine was lead on Help Me, Rhonda. On this day in 1935, Sir Malcolm Campbell reached a speed of 304 miles an hour on the Bonneville Salt Flats in Utah, becoming the first person to drive an automobile over 300 miles an hour. And again, that was 1935. That's actually one that that doesn't quite stick with you. You're like, they weren't driving 300 miles an hour in 1935. But yeah, they were in Utah, where, you know, there's no speed traps. Jennifer Page is 51 years old today. The Georgia native was 25 when she had this hit back in 1998. And yeah, there's people still coming to terms with the whole notion that, yes, that was half her life ago, that she's 51 today, and she was only 25 in 98 with that song. Pop quiz for Mr. Greg Bach. It is the anniversary today of the birth of Glenn Bell. He's an American businessman, born this day in 1923, passed away in 2010. What was Glenn Bell's big life-changing American business?
He invented the telephone, Pat.
No. That was
final answer.
Alexander Graham Bell.
No,
this was Glenn
okay.
Bell.
Okay.
Glenn Bell invented something else entirely different.
He discovered the Glens of Moore.
No. Here, let's see. You saw the movie The Founder with Michael Keaton. Be Ray Kroc and kind of found McDonald's.
Yeah. Okay.
Not found, you know what I mean. He made McDonald's what it is. Okay, this guy actually founded something similar. Again, his name is Glenn Bell.
He is the Burger King. Final answer.
Taco Bell. Glenn Bell, who created Taco Bell, was born this day.
He named it after himself.
Yes, Taco Bell. I mean, how else would you get a Taco Bell? Do you think they did they really ring bells for tacos back then?
I have no idea, man. It was the 19 who cares. I love a bean burrito.
Speaking of the 19 who cares, it was on this day in 1982. Culture Club released this single. Happy birthday to Charlie Sheen, who made it to 59 years old today. I did not pick the over on that one. I had the under. I lost money on this one. Charlie Sheen making it to 59 today. The late George Michael released his second solo album, Listen Without Prejudice, on this day in 1990. George Michael took a lot of grief for this one being, you know, wasn't this poppy. It was so much more serious and slower. And it also led him to songs like Freedom 90, which is on there, which is now the theme for the Todd Alba Show every day at noon. This is National Skyscraper Day. This is National Bowling League Day. Which I suppose, is this about the time to form the leagues for the fall winter season?
Absolutely, Pat. You want to get together right now, because in fact you should have been recruiting probably in August for September. But yeah, but get on it now. Get on it now.
Have you been on a bowling league?
Yeah, I bowled from the ages of 5 to 18.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Would you consider you were pretty good, or were you still bowling like a 5-year-old when you were 18? I mean,
my dad took bowling seriously. He taught me. Like he didn't teach. Like we threw the ball around and we, you know, played catch, but like bowling was his
with a
thing.
Bowling ball.
No, I'm saying like he didn't he didn't raise me to be a football player or a baseball player, but he wanted me to bowl and he taught me. See. And it was important to him. And I think I was okay. I wasn't like a prodigy at it, but I held my own.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is National Waffle Week, which again,
are you sure?
I'm sure. No, I'm not going to waffle on this one. I'm sure it is National Waffle Week. And of course, we are in a new month now in September, so we have a lot of months. This is National Candle Month, Alzheimer's Awareness Month. There's a lot of medical stuff this month. This is Urology Awareness Month, Vascular Disease Awareness Month, Sickle Cell Awareness Month, prostate cancer, ovarian cancer, and then some of these awareness. Again, not everything has to be an awareness thing. You could just make it National Yoga Month. But then when you say it's National Yoga Awareness Month, like, Are you aware of yoga?
Are you aware of your friend who won't shut up about yoga?
There's also, why this one? Why Velociraptor Awareness Month? Why not just Velociraptor Month? Because apparently they need you to be aware. There's one right behind you. This is Sourdough September.
And it's doing yoga.
This is Sourdough September, Civil Service Month, Bourbon Heritage Month, National Condiment Month, National Chicken Month. And I'm not clear if like we're honoring chicken as the animal or as the meal, because there's a real difference in how you celebrate Chicken Month that way. This is Healthy Aging Month, Classical Music Month, and finally, for yours truly, National Honey Month. I'm going to go put some honey in some tea and try another hour of Up North News Radio next on the Civic Media Radio Network.